everybody. It's the Commodore from the Clan of the Grey Wolf, and you are watching the Weekly Ringer series here on the brand new clanofthegreywolf.com. I hope you all are enjoying the refresh of the site that is ongoing and is quite nearly completed at this point. But you can tell that's why I haven't posted for a little while. Obviously, we've had a lot of time that's been put into getting the site to where it is right now. And also, I really didn't want to post something during our little freeze section where you know, you guys might be able to comment on a video, but then they wouldn't be migrated to the new site. And we're past all that, so I don't have to worry about it now, which is great. But at the time, I had no idea. So, you're basically seeing a little bit more time put in between videos this week just because of the reboot of the website. And, it gave me a good, I guess, a good point to reflect on what kind of things I like about the Weekly Ringer and what kind of things I might want to change a little bit in the future. And I think that's going to be evolving pretty soon. This one's going to be more or less more traditional because it's just what I know and what I'm comfortable with. But the site reboot has given all of us a few more ideas about how the Weekly Ringer should be run, and I hope that will be something we can do in the future, including one of the things I want to do starting today and moving forward. Is we've had a lot of clamoring about MP3 copies of the Weekly Ringers. A lot of you probably don't watch the video on the internet, but instead might like to be able to actually, some of you said, like to actually be able to download it, listen to it on your commute or any other place that you listen to mobile music. Why anyone would want to listen to my voice in any regard is still beyond me. But if you do, then I'm going to start offering that today. And what I hope to do as well over the next couple weeks, months, is to actually get back and do recordings, or not recordings necessarily, but I want to be able to, you know, pull the audio out of all the old Weekly Ringers and make them available in audio format as well. So if you are so inclined, you could probably listen to me talk around an entire 24-hour period. I don't know, why you'd ever want to do that, but you could if you wanted to. Anyway, we had a lot of people make requests in that regard, and I felt like that was long overdue. Considering our capability to do it is not that incredibly difficult. So I'm going to try to offer that move forward, and there's lots more to come past that as well. I want to do a lot more in terms of keeping with the simplicity of production, but kind of ratcheting things up a little bit. Rue, myself, Mark, have had a few conversations around what the Ringer should continue to look like in the future, and I'm very confident we're going to be able to deploy a product you guys will be very, very happy with as well. So give me some time. Going to continue to work on this. Obviously, you guys know the Clan of the Grey Wolf is, although taking up a ton of our time at the moment because of the conversion, is but a hobby project and one that we have to balance within the context of our own lives. So thank you all for your patience. And by the way, I'll echo Mark's sentiments to tell you that I thank you all for your time during the process to understand how we can do things a little bit better and give us feedback and how to fix certain things. We've definitely put that to the test. As always, if you guys have any comments for me, you can send me an email at commodore128@clanofthegreywolf.com. Or you can always, leave comments with the site as it is right now. That's pretty much how we read everything that goes on. We know what the pulse of the website is by the website itself. So please let us know what we can do to change things, we will definitely take the suggestions. And as always with the Weekly Ringer, if you have any ideas, I have a large database, if you will, of Weekly Ringer possible questions. If you have any ideas for a question you'd like to see in the Weekly Ringer, please let me know. Again, email me at commodore128@clanofthegreywolf.com. All right, that being said, we're going to move right on to our video for today. The show today is going to be encompassed by a conversation about the past. You guys answered in a big way regarding the first and most wonderful kind of world-changing, life-altering experiences with the internet. They were varied, and I thought very well played. I've got my own answers, which I always will give you, and then I'm going to ask you a question next week, which really goes to talk about some of, really taking what we've done with the website and using that as a basis to ask a question that I think you guys will be particularly interested in for, you know, analyzing a lot of recent pop culture in for next week's question. So stay tuned for that. All right. Now, as I always do, I like to welcome new members to the site. Now, this week is going to be a little bit dicey because I still haven't figured it all out 100%. To be honest, guys, with all the kind of changing in terms of the site, I wasn't able to necessarily just see an icon and go, oh yeah, I remember these people, right? So if I miss someone, don't take personal offense, send me an email or whatever and let me know, hey, I really am new here and you just totally blew over me, and I'll get back on that. But today we had a new member, Mark1K1. I'm going to just say Mark1001. How's that sound? Welcome to you, Mark. Great to have you as a part of the community as well. Moving forward, guys, the comments always keep the Weekly Ringer functioning. That's why we need them. So all of you that comment, keep the show alive and keep the show moving. And to be honest with you, as the site relaunches now, I went back and watched a few of the very early Weekly Ringers. And I even found some very super high top secret footage of something that happened long before I launched the Weekly Ringer, where I was just testing the format of me talking in front of a camera. That might or might not be released in the future. I just want to give you guys a heads up for that. If you have any kind of, if you'd like to see that, please let me know. But trust me, it's not nearly as engaging as this material. And in any case, so welcome to you, Mark1K1. Thank you for being a part of the community, and thank you to all of you who keep commenting to keep me alive and have kept me alive all of this time. Lots more to come and lots more to cover in the future in the Weekly Ringer. All right, last week, if you will recall, I asked you a question about the first experiences you have with the internet that definitely, I wouldn't say necessarily changed your life, but changed the way that you thought the internet was going to work, right? So, you know, the first time you used it to do something that was life-altering or you know, that you thought would really catch on and really change the way people live their lives. That's what I asked you for last week, and you guys came up with a lot of answers in droves. As I'm always doing now, I'm going to take a step back and look at some of the themes that resonated throughout the community. One was that online gaming was a huge part of this. By and large, we are a gaming community, even though we talk about a lot more things, obviously, than just gaming. But what was interesting to me is that many of you took that question I asked and really became more, the answer was really around when you played your first real online games, and that changed things for you. I am certainly sympathetic to this position. I definitely understand it, and I also have a lot of memories of gaming my own. That certainly lend themselves to being some of my better memories on the internet. So I have that. I get what you guys are saying, and I'm not surprised that was something that kind of bled through almost every comment I saw. And the second thing that we saw, I think, really going throughout all of the comments was really the fact that the internet was allowing you to connect to people that you normally would not necessarily connect with by virtue of, you know, communication media before the internet came along. Couldn't agree more about that as well. I think that's part of what the allure of the internet really is. I'm not sure that it's necessarily one that is at the heart of what everyone sees as that moment that changed everything for them on the internet, but I certainly understand that to some degree. It was certainly the cause for making you think, right? Wow, I'm connecting with people that are in a completely different part of the world from me. That leads me into the first comment I wanted to talk about, which was Mr. K. I want to bring highlight to that comment, which was a brilliant story. And the question was asked by Mr. K of me, and let me take this opportunity to answer him and to invite all of you. The reason I started the Weekly Ringer was not because I wanted necessarily to just engage people intellectually. That is a big piece of it. I want to engage you all intellectually about a lot of the things that we do. And I'm very excited about, you know, having a very elevated conversation. I like that. That's part of what I like to do here. You can find a lot of people out there that talk about video games that have no idea what they're talking about and are also very juvenile. That's not what you find here at the Clan of the Grey Wolf, and it's certainly not what you find here at the Weekly Ringer. But the real reason I started it was because I wanted to hear your stories, your thoughts. I wanted to know what the community was thinking. And I wanted to see if they were the same as mine. I could just sit here and talk about what I think all day long. But it's great to hear about what you guys have and see that we come together as a community as a result. Mr. K's story does that wonderfully. I love hearing about what kind of stuff really made up your childhood, or what kind of things you use the internet to do today, or how you involve yourself with movies today, or how you know TV affects your life, or any of these kinds of things that we've talked about in the Weekly Ringer, which have been topics far and wide, as all of you that have been a part of it for a long time know very well. So, that being said, please continue to share personal stories. I love them. I find them very highly entertaining. If you don't find them highly entertaining, this is probably not the site for you. All right, so that being said, Mr. K talked about, we're asked the question first about pictures. You know, I think it's great. Share pictures. Multimedia is great. Hopefully, on our conversion to WordPress, it will be a little bit more friendly in regard to you guys being able to post multimedia content. I'm excited to see that. I like that. I think that's a great part of it. But what's also interesting, and this is a thought about the Weekly Ringer, is that it's almost become that now you guys give me such great content that it's almost impossible to wrap it all up inside of a week. But that's a different story. That's my problem, not yours. So keep that stuff coming. But really what Mr. K was talking about was a question of connecting to people that he never would have connected to otherwise, by virtue of the power of the internet. And by the fact that the internet is a community that enabled him to kind of gravitate toward other folks that have similar interests to him. Love it. I think it's a great story. I think it really is something that opens your eyes. If you were on the internet in those early days, very similar to what Mr. K was talking about, that was the eye-opener. Now, there were a lot of new politics and a lot of new ways of talking to people. I'm always amazed at how those things evolve over time. That's the course of study for many, many people over there, currently in academia. Luckily, I'm not one of those people, but I would be if I were there. I love the idea of how these things evolve over time, how the rules of engagement evolve over time. But back then, it really was, you just kind of connected with people the same way that you would at your school. And you just thought, well, really the internet just allows me to get, go from a pool of people this big to a pool of people this big, right? Well, that's great, but at the end of the day, it's probably more than that. You get to go and actually hone in. And this is true of a lot of things on the internet. You get to kind of hone in on people that think about the same things or enjoy the same things or have interest in the same things, passions in the same things that you like, be they very mundane and things that you would, like to be a part of every single day, or be they something that's, kind of outlandish. Not a lot of people probably engage with on a day-to-day basis, and you just want to find more people that think that way. Mr. K tells a great story about that. I certainly understand that as an eye-opening moment, and I certainly respect it. I think it's a great answer. Jerome Flintsteel, had a moment in seeing eBay as an e-commerce site, right? That wasn't just an e-commerce site. eBay was a site that, as you can look at eBay today, they take the number one premise is that most people out there are very good people. And that they just want to they have things in their garage and they want to get rid of them, then the way to do it is probably to get some value for it and try to find somebody out there on the internet that has value with it as well. Now, Jerome Flintsteel specifically talks about that all of a sudden walking through a garage, you have a very different lens about things. You start looking around and you go, man, I don't need any of this stuff anymore, but I could probably get a couple bucks for them. All I got to do is put them out on eBay. It opened up a whole new market. Many of you remember the days that eBay was just about celebrity memorabilia and Beanie Babies. That was really all people sold on eBay. Now, I bought a car on eBay, for God's sakes. You can buy almost anything you could think of on eBay. But think of the first moment. I like this idea that Jerome Flintsteel brings up here, which is that you can look around and you can have a new lens of seeing the world around you going, man, if I go to a store and I buy everything that's on sale this week, I can go out on eBay and mark them up $10 next week and everyone will go buy them for me and I can make 10 bucks a pop. It takes a lot of work, but a lot of people actually quit their jobs and started doing this at home full time. I'm not sure that stuff panned out really well now that you have places like Amazon and all that e-commerce stuff we talked about in the last Echo Screen Live, where there are people that basically are able to go out and connect with other retailers that do this on a wholesale day-to-day basis. And I think that's great. So You know, but that first moment is definitely an eye-popping moment that opens up new worlds. Red Mage talked about JSTOR, and more broadly, talked about the amount of information that was widely available. And this one is a great thing for me, too. I love, first of all, JSTOR specifically, talking about Red Mage, couldn't agree more. Fantastic answer. Think of the first time you went to an online academic journal or an online series of academic journals like JSTOR is, because it's just a series of online academic journals and an assemblage of other things like book chapters and things like that. At least it was last time I used it. You go and you type in something and all of a sudden, bam, you have all of this different information and these different sources that were available for you that if you went to go search in a catalog for books or things like that, you might find a book, you had to go and get the book, and then you'd start opening the book and reading the book to see if it actually had anything that you might be able to use. That's wonderful, but at the end of the day, and so much better than I guess anything could have happened before the Dewey Decimal System, where people had to kind of organize their own libraries. But the point is, the idea of that kind of information being available online is amazing. Now, I'm going to take this into another direction. Several of you talked about the idea of the internet being available so that you could kind of, just allow you to open your minds because there were so many great pieces of information out there. I think that goes along the lines with a lot of the rhetoric that surrounded the internet when it first became very widely available, was that, man, this is going to be the great vanquisher of ignorance. We're all going to be so much smarter because of the internet, and information is going to be so much more highly available that no one will be able to defend, opinions that are small-minded or that don't take all the information into account. I'm going to fundamentally disagree with that point. And I think if there's anything the internet has showed us, it's that it does a great job at propagating ideas. But what I will tell you, and what you don't have to go very far to find, is that what we've learned over the course of the last 20 years is that the internet is just as good at spreading incorrect ideas as it is spreading correct ideas. It's just as good at propagating rumor and speculation as it is fact. It's just as good at propagating ideas that are problematic for society as those that probably help most of us in the long run. I'm not going to pretend that I am the one that draws the lines as to what any of those things mean. What I will tell you is that I think the internet has become kind of a dumpster for all those things. And what ends up happening is that it propagates a lot of very problematic things just as much. In other words, folks, the internet becomes a reflection of humanity and not a reflection of this new medium at all. So, while Red Mage talks about a great, great use of how the internet is a great way to access information that we never had access to before, point taken. I also challenged several of you that went on to say, well, this was a great tool. I'm not so sure about that. And that is not the eye-opening experience I think many of us were looking for when we started using the internet. We all thought it was going to cure cancer and do all these other great things, which it has not done. But what it certainly has done is allow you to find more freely available pictures of Kim Kardashian anytime you'd like to, any day of the week. Sure, go for it. So if that's value to any of you, then fantastic. To me, not so much. All right, the Beer Ninja talked about something I think all of us can identify with, and that is the Alta Vista search. Now, maybe your search engine of choice was not Alta Vista, although it certainly was mine. But I remember the first time I was in an English class. I probably shouldn't even tell you this, because this probably could be one of my answers. But I was in an English class. I was a sophomore in college, and it was the first time I had ever heard a small word that would fundamentally change the way that I and everyone else would inevitably live, and that is Google. The first time I ever heard this word, a teacher asked us to go home and, find some sources of what we were talking about at the time. Not necessarily to cite academically, but just to go out and find some people that had stories about certain things. At the time, I think it was domestic abuse, things like this. We were going to write about it, and we wanted to kind of get a couple sources about it. And what she did was she told us to go home and put it into Google, because Google was this new cool thing that you could use. And at that time, it had only been around it would be under 3 years at that point. So it was still fairly new. It was not the most widely available search engine. But I remember the first time I used it, it destroyed everything else. I was using AltaVista. I was using Dogpile, Lycos, Yahoo. I was using all of those for a long time, but Google obviously changed that. But that first time, I had to think about this. I thought about this long and hard. I don't know if any of you guys have. What was the first time you used a search engine? What'd you search for? You know, I mean, have you ever thought about that? Like, that's the kind of thing I was hoping you guys would think about this week. You know, the Beer Ninja remembers his first Alta Vista search. And I think many of us, if we could look back at the first search we ever ran online, we'd probably have a very good laugh. And if we could see an amalgamation of all of the searches we have levied over the years, what we would probably find is nothing but hilarious nuance as to what we, how our lives have changed, and what Google realizes that the stuff that we search for probably is a good reflection of who we are, what we like, and what we want to buy, and the kind of things we're interested in. And thusly is born the internet that we all know today. Love it or hate it. Muscular Thumbs talked about something that is near and dear to my own heart. Several of you, including, I remember, Mays, mentioned this, was the idea of Napster being widely available. Why is Napster important, you say? Well, Napster is not necessarily the first attempt at something very fundamental to the internet, which is not only P2P, peer-to-peer networks, but also the idea of being able to centrally host a very, very extensive database, or a very, very extensive network, let's say, of people that have stuff. And if people want stuff, they just go to this place, they type in a search, it queries this particular database and comes back with, hey, these people have the stuff that you want, and then you go and get it, right? In other words, folks, the essence of the P2P network. Napster didn't host anything themselves. They certainly were not, they certainly did not, you know, have any file servers of their own that maintained any of this content, this stuff, but they connected you to people who did very, very easily. What that did was it made a lot of stuff, most importantly, online music, a hell of a lot easier to find. Because back in those days, folks, you know, there were no iTunes releases, remember? The only way that MP3s existed, or any audio files for that example, I remember very large WAV files, for example, was if you actually ripped the CDs that you had, or if you were given the MP3s or the files otherwise of the CDs that your friends or friends of friends had ripped. That was the only way to get digital music back then. And by the way, a lot of them were not very good quality because the ripping programs back then were not very good and had a lot of really terrible, you know, compression ratios and you could always tell when someone was playing MP3s in the car because the audio quality was so awful and there were blips and things and it was just terrible. In any case, Napster opens the door for all of us to be thinking about all that stuff. Really, really cool. I remember being connected the first time I ran a Napster search. That was a great thing as well. And that would definitely be one of my memories. One of the very first courses I took in college was a rock and roll history course. And Napster was obviously the forefront of the conversation there, and I'm telling you right now, it was hot stuff because everyone had an opinion about how Napster was going to change the face of music, and it indeed did do that. So I think that was a great one. And lastly, I'm going to talk about Grateful Dead, which talked about the idea of Facebook. So Facebook was the moment that changed everything for you on the internet. I think that's a good one. For many of us that predate Facebook by a long shot on the internet, you know, probably not as much, but I think for many of our audience members out there, as a part of the community, you really did grow up with Facebook. And for that, I think your life has been fundamentally different. Maybe you don't use Facebook now as your central way of contacting people, but when I jumped on, the only thing I really found Facebook to be incredibly powerful tool in achieving any kind of activity in the internet was being able to keep up with people that you went to school with or that you knew from your childhood. Because Facebook, in my estimation, really outmoded the high school reunion. At that point, there was really no reason to have a high school reunion because Facebook was kind of an instant high school reunion. And as a matter of fact, my dad, and even myself now, you know, I've found it's a primary way that I connect with people that I went to high school with. Well, except for Rue, of course, who whether you think that's a great thing or a terrible thing, communicate with fairly regularly. In any case, Facebook certainly did change the way that we contact people and connect with people. But what I'll say is this, the first time that I went on Facebook and I typed in, hey, this is who I am and this is where I went to school, and all of a sudden it goes, bam, you probably know these people. And all of a sudden I looked down there and lo and behold, I did. I knew every single one of them. And I went, oh boy. This is changing everything, right? That was a great moment, and a moment where I said, this is going to change everything. I wasn't necessarily thinking of why it knew that, or if it was problematic that it knew that, which is a different story for a different time, but I definitely knew at that point that that the whole world had changed. All right, so now it comes into my own two cents, as it were, in regard to this particular story. I had a couple moments that changed my life in terms of thinking the internet was going to change the world. First was in middle school, I was in a club. I don't know if it was necessarily a club. It was more like a kind of an academically, I guess we'll call it academically gifted thing. It was only a part of like a couple science classes. We did a thing called Science by Mail. And what it did was basically you would kind of get to place out of the regular science course, and you would instead spend time independently, working with a couple people to do remote correspondence with a scientist in the field, and you would kind of work back and forth on doing experiments and these kinds of things that were given to you. And it was actually pretty neat. The only problem was, when they say science by mail, they mean science by mail. It was supposed to be by snail mail. You'd run an experiment, you'd kind of get some results, you'd send it to them, they'd send it back to you, blah, 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 blah. But they had one little option down at the end of the page, which was, if you have this new wonderful thing called email, if you have access to that, then by all means, use email to connect to your person. That way, you can actually send them the stuff that way rather than doing it over snail mail. So I remember I went to a terminal that my dad had at home, and it had no intelligence. That's why I can tell you that. It was a dumb terminal. It had a 9600 baud modem, and I could connect to the back end of where my dad worked and only use one little email address to contact. And it was text only on a green and black screen, so it was a monochrome green screen, and type in emails. All right, so what this did was it completely changed everything for me. I was able to email this person. No one else in my group had email at the time. And he emails me back. And the first time I get an email back from this scientist in the field who had actually volunteered for it, it was actually one of the most amazing moments ever. It was like, here I am talking to this person I had never, ever anticipated, never would have talked to otherwise, and he's helping me with my schoolwork. How incredible is this, right? I just knew things would change at that point. So you could talk about that being email, you could talk about that being, you know, the connection of the people, but in one way or another, that definitely opened my eyes. The second thing I'll talk to you about is something that is near and dear to us at the Clan of the Grey Wolf, because it involves both myself and Rue when we were in, I want to say it was the last year of middle school, so eighth grade and also the first year of high school, but mostly probably the first year of high school. I got AOL at my house. Rue already had AOL at his, but Rue was connecting on a machine that would be at best described as an ancient machine. It was, as I recall, a 386. It could have been a 486. I'm not 100% sure. It might have been a 486. But in any case, it was a 386 that had a modem, I believe, that was somewhere in the lines of 3600 baud. It took 10 minutes from the time that you push the button to sign on to when you actually were connected. And then every time you click the button, it would take 5 minutes to load a page. So, and we called this connection. This was good, right? This was fun. This was great. So, you know, we would go and connect, and when, you know, lo and behold, to go to my house, the first PC I ever connected to the internet with, I think, was at least a 486, but was probably an x86 platform once they moved forward into like a Pentium 2 or something like that. I think it was a Pentium 2. But anyways, a Pentium 2 laptop. I also had a Mac that I connected to the internet, and the speeds that I could connect were much, much faster. I think there was an 18.8 modem, not an 18.8, a 14.4 modem that I connected with the Mac, and then there was a 19K? I don't remember all the iterations in between that I connected with the laptop, and it changed everything. We could connect and we could actually do stuff online, including go into chat rooms. So we used to, you know, as stupid, you know, pubescent males do, we jumped on into the chat rooms and we were like, oh, this is great. So it was me, Rue, and our other best friend from high school, and we're just sitting there like, oh, look, we're in a chat room. Well, the funny part of this, and the reason the story is awesome, is because what we ended up doing, what ended up changing our lives, was we're on AOL, we're in these chat rooms, and then we met someone, and we thought, you know, this is great. They want to talk to us separately in a private kind of setting, in a private chat. Before you guys get any ideas, this is totally innocent. But my point is, what happened was, we didn't understand the concept of instant messaging at the time, and neither did the person we were talking to. Apparently, we were all new to AOL. And this was something that was free to everyone. All you had to do was use it if you wanted it. Well, what AOL did at that time was, you guys remember the You've Got Mail sound. We actually found this person and we sent them an email that was probably like 5 or 6 words or one sentence or 2 sentences sent. And then we would literally sit there waiting. You've got mail. And then we go, okay, here it is, here it is. And we'd open it up, another 1 sentence, 2 sentences. Oh, I'm doing fine. How are you? Blah, 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 blah. Okay, got it, all right, reply, here's an email, and then we sit there. You've got mail, okay, there we go. And so we literally did this for a long, long time, you know, filling up my email box at the time, and I don't even remember what my username was or I would tell you all. But in any case, it was really, really, really awesome. And that was a great, great experience and one that completely changed my life. The fact that I could meet other people in other places online and talk to them was really, really cool. You know, I never had any problems necessarily dealing with people in my hometown. I certainly connected with them well. I was never like an outcast or anything. But being able to connect online with even more people, for me, was really, really exciting. And I did. So that was number 2 for me. And the last one I'll share with you, actually there are probably many, many more, but I'll tell you one that really changed. This one I think fits the bill better than almost any of the other ones. I got my first smartphone. I believe it was in 2010. It was an Android smartphone. It was 1.5 Android. And I connected, and one of the first things I did, maybe 3 days later, maybe 2 days later, was I hopped on a plane and flew to Boston for the very first PAX East. So there I am with my smartphone. I had upgraded from a flip phone. Rue didn't even have one at that point. And there are funny stories I could tell you about that, like us trying to use the GPS when there was no GPS on Android 1.5, even though the phones were equipped with a GPS. They had to be upgraded, yes, to even use turn-by-turn navigation, which was crazy. In any case, so I remember going to PAX East the first day, and they had an Android, they didn't even have apps. What they had was a web-based client that was only hosted locally, where you could connect with your smartphone. It would know who you were by virtue of your smartphone connecting. And you would put in, you would actually start to make your entire schedule. And all of a sudden, right on your smartphone, your entire schedule was there. It would know where you were. It would know all those kinds of things. You could interact with the stuff around you. And there I was with my smartphone at PAX East with my entire schedule there in front of me. And it changed. I said, this is massive. This is unbelievable. This is what it's supposed to be like. You have one little thing that you do, and, you know, on this little tiny platform that basically helps you do so many more things that you would, you know. Why did I even need a guide at that point? I had it all on my smartphone right there to be able to push the button, do whatever I wanted to do. Now, you go into these things, they do all kinds of things. They connect you with other, you know, with other people. You can buy events. You can scan your barcode right from your smartphone. You can use great services like Uber, which is something I'm finding here now, which is the service where you can actually get a car to come straight to you. You don't have to hail cabs anymore. You have a nice, you know, limo driver or, you know, cab or car person. Just drive right up, off duty. Come up, pick you up, bring you wherever you want to go. This is unbelievable. Those kinds of things are the things that changed, that I think changed the way we live. And I think that's only, you know, exponentially getting better. The things that I see coming out today are just foolishness. They're so easy to use, and they've fundamentally changed the way that software operates, which is one of the things that we've talked about at length here in the Weekly Ringer. So those are the things that really, those were very, very eye-opening moments for me. There are a lot more. One more I'll tell you about really, really quickly was the very first time I actually had a connection with a person at a, I came to university where they had like, you know, banded T1s or T3s. And I connected with the university only a few minutes down the road from us and to one of my buddies there. And they had an even faster connection than we did. And we would go and we actually tried to connect to each other and just send a massive file to see what would happen. And I, this is one of the geekiest moments in my life, but it was also an eye-opening moment. We transferred a file at over a meg a second and realized that at the moment, at the time, the best we ever got from a connection, from a 56K connection, was probably 25K a second. 25K a second. You download a song in about 30 minutes, right? Moving a meg a second, I could download even full albums in a matter of minutes, right? And so I just went, this is going to change everything. As these connection speeds get higher and higher, this is going to change everything about the world. Lo and behold, it certainly has. So anyway, thank you guys for sharing your memories with me. There are plenty more to get into. I'm sure all of you have a lot more things. And there are things I haven't even thought about yet. As I was going through my week, I started thinking, oh, I could talk about this or I could talk about that. But there were a lot of awesome moments about how the fact of the matter is that the internet has changed our lives and our ability to connect to other people has changed our lives. So thank you all for sharing your ideas with me. All right, lots of things that we could be starting to talk about. It's the beginning of December. There's lots of Christmas questions to be asked, and lo and behold, I certainly will be asking them. Just you wait, as I always do, because we're coming up on really the 2-year anniversary of the Weekly Ringer, which began right after Christmas time, 2 years ago. Now, obviously, I haven't done one every single week. I did it the first year, but not the second year. So I'm going to try to step that up a little bit. But we're coming up here. There's a lot of things to talk about here on the 2-year anniversary. You know, obviously, the 100th episode is coming up pretty quickly here. We want to do something special for all that stuff. But in any case, I wanted to ask you, because this week, or these past 2 weeks, have been really crucial for us here at the Clan of the Grey Wolf to really get a plan together and then execute that plan for bringing together the new website. And things went so much better than I thought. And not because I doubted any of the abilities of any of the people involved, but because I remember what a pain in the ass it was to launch this site when we first launched it. Because I built pretty much all of it. And I have to tell you, I expected that to happen again. So it certainly made all of us think a lot differently about how we operate. And so it started to make me think about all these things about rebooting. We rebooted the website. We've rebooted Clan of the Grey Wolf. We're ready to kind of start the next chapter right before the marathon, which hopefully all of you are going to participate in. The marathon's going to be amazing. It's going to be wonderful, and we need all of your support. And so it made me think. We're rebooting, got all the stuff up. It made me think about all the different things we've seen recently that's been rebooted. We've seen so many things. Whether it be TV shows, movies, books, even books, let alone video games, right? And so it started getting me thinking about this. A lot of these reboots, we look at and we go, what the hell is that, right? Why is that happening? And I've asked you guys questions about reboots of things like Spider-Man before and the things that you'd like to see rebooted or whatever the case might be. But here's what I want to do. In the spirit of the rebooting we've done here at the Clan of the Grey Wolf and the idea that we hope to arise like a phoenix from the ashes of the old site, stronger and better than ever before, I want to ask you guys a question about reboots for next week, which will go something like this. What has been the best of the reboots that we've seen recently? Could be anything, guys. Could be anything out there. Doesn't have to be a video game, doesn't have to be a movie, could be anything out there. What is the best of the reboots that we've seen recently? Who do you think has done a great job of it? Maybe that'll serve as a little inspiration for us at the Clan of the Grey Wolf as to how we need to continue forward moving with all the things that we do to bring you guys wonderful and exciting content. Anyway, folks, lots more to come. Stay tuned. Thank you, as always, for watching the Weekly Ringer series here on Clan of the Grey Wolf. Continue to comment. Continue to watch. And now, if you'd like to, continue to listen as well. We will continue to produce this great content moving forward. And thanks for your patience, as we said before, in the rebooting of the website. As always, I am the Commodore from the Clan of the Grey Wolf, and there is no reset button.